Well, today we're going to launch into a new series talking about how do we get better without getting discouraged. All right, here we go. Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Stephen Reed, part of the team here at Music and Ministry. And today we're going to jump into a subject that I have grown to love. And I say that because I didn't always love it, and that is evaluation. It's almost like a swear word in some cultures and in some circles, but it's really the way to get better at things. And some of that has, again, just a super negative connotation. I know for myself, I had a negative connotation for a long time and just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to take the time to be like pointing out, hey, what's all went wrong? Let's just be glad that it happened and that there was good things, and then we'll just move on. And it wasn't really until the church that I was on staff at just had made just a deep dive into like, no, we're doing evaluations. And I pushed back against that, even to my own career issues with all of that. It wasn't always pretty. That's how much I just didn't like it. And part of that is because I just didn't understand it. And again, my perception of it was very negative. Instead of celebrating it or seeing it as a way to celebrate what it is that we're doing or seeing it as a way to necessarily get better, I always just kind of felt like it was a way to be critical. And so what I'm hoping to share with you over the next couple episodes of this are going to be some things that I've learned over the course of time, going from somebody who completely did not like evaluation to then starting evaluation and running into some issues to then absolutely loving evaluation. And I feel like there's some like key steps in there that will hopefully help you move quickly through those things and get to the benefits of what that is. So today we're going to jump into the beginning here. There's just a couple concepts I think that are super important when we begin the idea of, okay, how do we evaluate how things are going? And the first is that we need to evaluate, because what often happens is that we just refuse to look at how things are going because we don't want to uncover the things that are bad. And that's partly because we're all dealing with, and I say this we because I've felt it, I feel it, we have this like insecurity on the inside of us that is just like, man, if I take an honest look at this, I'm not going to be as good as I think that I am or that I want to be. And so then that's going to be soul crushing. And so we have this really interesting deal where we kind of like self-protect our insecurities, and that kind of develops this pride that we've been talking a lot about over the course of this series of podcasts, this season at least. And so it's kind of an interesting thing where we actually, instead of looking out and trying to find, okay, how did we do? How are things going? We actually push things away and like, I don't want to see, I don't want to know, to the point then where we are actually kind of like walking through life with our eyes closed, just being like, it went well, right? It did good, good. And so we actually end up stepping into what I would call systemic blindness. And it's a big part of the reason why people don't improve or get better in their worship leading, is because they either can't see, in the sense of like, you're on stage, the bright lights are shining on you, you can't see the audience, so you don't know if they're singing, you can't tell who's responding or how well they're responding, maybe you have in-ears in, you can't hear whether or not people are singing along with you, and so you put yourself into an environment where you literally cannot tell, you cannot see, you cannot hear. But then we also do this other thing where we intentionally don't look out. We could look out, but I know. It is difficult to lead worship, remember the chords, sing the words, and then hear from the Lord all while you're looking out, and then you're wondering, why isn't that person singing? And why is that person standing next to that person? And like, oh, where did they get the donut? And all of those things start flying through our brains. And so sometimes we kind of just decide, hey, I'm not going to look out. I'm just going to close my eyes, even though I could be able to see. I'm intentionally closing my eyes, or I'm not going to look at that, or I'm not going to go back and review how the song went. I'm not going to go look at the live stream. I'm not going to record off of our board so we can go back and listen to it later. Because when we do those things, it's usually not as good as we would like them to be. And so we kind of, again, create this self-preservation thing where we just become blind almost on purpose. And then we kind of fall into what I would call, or would say the Bible talks about, saying we become the blind leading the blind, in the sense of like, we're not exactly sure how it's going, but we felt like we did a good job. And there was other people seem to like, do you like it? Do you not like it? And then that's enough for us. And then we just kind of move on and keep moving on and keep moving on. And then, which is fine. It's not like you have to do that. But if you have in your heart this desire to get better, to grow in your abilities, it can cause you to get stuck. And so We talk a lot about in these series, and I talk a lot with a lot of people, my boys, and then just all the people that we end up consulting with, is that there's this really powerful illustration that I read in a book one time, and it's really had a big impact on us and obviously how we've parented and other things, in the sense of just understanding that there are two ditches on either side of the road when you start talking about encouragement or discouragement. And so on the one side is going to be the ditch of discouragement. And that's where you get into that and you'll get stuck in that and you'll want to quit, because you'll look at something and be like, ah, I am not as good as I thought I was or I want to be. And this is, I just don't have it. And then all of a sudden you just kind of get, oh, woe is me. And then you pull off to the side of the road and you quit. Now, on the other side of the road is the ditch of pride. And that will be where you get so much encouragement and you're just like, yes, it's good. We're doing good. Things are going great. And I remember being stuck in both ditches, so I'm not coming against anybody here. But you just get to this point where you only want to hear positive feedback. You only believe positive feedback. You create the self-assurance thing and you actually get stuck in pride. And so then you won't get any further down the road because you don't think you need to get any better because you've already arrived at your destination. And I remember thinking, I am one phone call, I am one opportunity away from signing a record deal, and they're gonna come and we're gonna have the next great revival at our church, and we're gonna be featured on all of these things remembered in the course of history for being such a great move of God. And again, that's not necessarily bad in the sense of we want God to move and for good things to happen, but I felt like we were there and it was about to happen or should happen. And again, I can look back and say, man, I was really stuck in that ditch of pride. So the idea is then that we don't want to get stuck in either ditch. And sometimes I can remember going, you know, one ditch to the next ditch to the next ditch, is we want, in order to move forward, we need to stay on the road. And so there comes this place where you need to have some encouragement, because if you don't have any encouragement, you're going to get stuck in the ditch of discouragement. And so you need to say when things are going well and when things are, you have potential to get better and like, this is going to be okay, we're going to make it. And so you kind of pull people over into, nudge them over into, okay, here we're back on the road, right? What sometimes we do is we overdo it and we'll lie to people and be like, oh no, that was great. It wasn't bad. It was fine. And then it's like, we just kind of get them stuck way over on the right side, and that's where we get the, you know, fishtailing back and forth between the ditches. Never pretty, right? And so when we then look at, okay, how do we get people unstuck from pride? That sometimes can actually be pretty tricky as well, because it's just a slippery slope all the way to being discouragement. And I remember, again, thinking that I'm going to get a record contract any moment now, to I want to throw my guitar in the ocean and go sell insurance. And we're finicky like that as musicians and artists and creatives. So that's definitely something that we just can't ignore, because that is kind of human nature about what it is. And so we need to find these ways that we can nudge people over off of this ditch and off of that ditch to being in the road and moving toward whatever it is that God has for us, toward whatever the vision is we're supposed to be accomplishing. So then once I started diving into the idea, forced, kind of pushed over the edge by my leadership into the idea of doing these evaluations, I didn't want it to be just negative. And so we kind of found a system that worked really well for us, which was we would talk about the positives, we would talk about what could be better, and then we would talk about what are we going to do about it different, what's going to be different next time. And so those were our three main questions. And we didn't just like glance over them. It was really like, hey, what went well? We want to celebrate. Because sometimes when you're looking at things critically or you're judging them, sometimes it will just be all about this didn't go well and that didn't go well. Well, that's not good. That doesn't encourage people. We're just going to get everybody stuck in that ditch of discouragement, because there's like, man, we worked hard and there was fruit and there was things that went well. And if you don't celebrate those things, then they're not going to get repeated. People aren't going to be encouraged. And again, they're just going to be stuck in that ditch. And so we really wanted to take the time to be like, okay, what went well? And like, sometimes people were struggling and be like, hey, the lights worked. Hey, like people showed up. Like, okay, that's great. Maybe we didn't have as many people as we wanted to, but we needed at least to be positive. And I would say just in general in life, like you have to learn how to celebrate the small stuff, because you just keep on getting to levels in your life to where you're like, oh, like that was good, but this next thing would have been better. And so then this isn't quite as good. And you can just kind of talk yourself out of feeling good about yourself, or, you know, having a moment of celebration. You know, just a quick aside, like, I've met so many people that have songs on the radio and they're like, oh yeah, but I don't have any number ones. And you're like, that's crazy, right? I remember the first time we got on radio, I was so excited that we actually made the radio. Somebody that we didn't know decided to put us on, and that, I mean, just such a great feeling. And I told some people here in town, I live in Nashville, and they were like, oh yeah, well, great, but what? Where's your ranking on the charts? And I was like, well, I don't think we're charting. Like, and they're like, oh, okay. And they just totally just poured a wet blanket, or whatever you want to say, just like totally killed my excitement. And it was like, yeah. And then they have several number ones, this person did. And then they were like, but they would go right with these other people. And they're like, yeah, but this guy has more number ones, and this guy has more platinum records. And then I've watched interviews with people who are like at the top of what I would say music, but they're like, nope, somebody else is. And then the question becomes, who's the greatest of all time? And you can't ever win those arguments or feel good about it, because there's always the next person. And so this comparison game can just rob you of your joy and just dive you into the ditch of discouragement. Well, we don't want to be there. So we got to celebrate the small stuff, celebrate the victories. And sometimes in our evaluations, people would point out and be like, man, I really felt like that game went super well tonight at youth group. And you're like, really? Because I was kind of, they're like, oh no, like everybody had so much fun. And they're like, well, we didn't do this or that. And you're like, I don't know that that mattered as much as maybe you think it mattered. And so we kind of took items that were in this, maybe this didn't go as well. And we're like, no, like this was an encouragement. It was such a great opportunity to just like champion people and cheer for people when they did well, especially as we then got week to week, we were working on the things that we had evaluated. It was such a great opportunity. It was a great part of the evaluation process. So then we would get to the part where we would talk about, okay, what didn't go as well as we wanted to. And we specifically chose that wording because it wasn't what went wrong, because again, that's just gonna throw people into this and be like, well, Susan, the game didn't go well. And you know, it's like, well, now you're discouraged. And you'd be like, all right, what about the game didn't go well? Or we were hoping to get like, well, I was hoping we would get more participation. And we're like, yeah, I noticed that too. And there's a whole lot about how this works that we'll talk about in some future things, but we really wanted to approach it in a way that didn't make people be discouraged, or that they were willing to talk about it without them diving emotionally into the ditch of discouragement. And so we didn't lie to people. We didn't say that things were good when they weren't good. We were just like, we would find a way to talk about it in a way that didn't judge the person, but was judging what the results. And I really think the difference between that is just going to be the difference of being critical about stuff, which is like judging, like, no, you were terrible, versus thinking critically about things. I heard somebody recently say that, like, we don't mind critical thinking, we just don't want critical people. And that's a big difference, that for something that seems really subtle. But if you are unwilling to think about, like, hey, maybe this game could have been better, well, you're never going to get any better. You're going to be stuck over here. You're like, no, it was as good as it could get. You did a great job. Okay, well, could we have had more fun? Could we have done it for a cheaper amount? Could we do it again? What can we learn from this to apply to some other game that's unrelated? We did this a lot in youth groups, so that's why I'm getting games in there quite a bit, because we don't normally do a whole lot of games for praise and worship teams. Although maybe we should. Nah, probably not. And so then our third question was, okay, what are we going to do about it next week? And so, you know, sometimes we would be like, yeah, that didn't go well, but we'd just be like, I don't know what we would do different. Or a lot of times we had very specific things. Okay, let's try this again next week, and let's try picking something that was this or that. Or if we're talking about praise and worship stuff, it'd be like, all right, well, this went really well on this one part of the song, but we kind of lost everybody at the bridge. Okay, so what are we going to do differently next time? It's like, well, let's try just singing the part that everybody sang along with. And you're like, all right, let's do that. And so then the next week we would do that, and we would say, man, everybody sang, it was so great. And we transitioned to this other song and went amazing. And you're like, all right, did we miss anything by not singing the bridge? Did it not make sense? Or, you know, you're just asking, again, you're thinking critically about it. And if you're just like, nah, I don't know that that bridge really fits, you're like, all right, well, then that's fine. Like, we can be the kind of church that doesn't sing the bridge on particular songs because we want to get better at worship leading, not necessarily in replicating the music that is made by the music industry or whoever it is that's making those songs. So as I'm getting into all of this, you can probably see that there's a lot to it, but we evaluate everything, and I mean everything. So when we were on the road as praise and worship consultants, we would get in after every meeting, after every service, as we were going to wherever we were going next, and we would have the conversations about, okay, what went well, what didn't go as well as we were hoping would go, what are we going to do different about it next time? And we just created this environment where all of us and our family and those that were in our group that we were working with at the various churches we worked at, we then, you know, were able to be honest and just be like, ah, man, I didn't know. And you're just like, yeah, you know, like there, it wasn't just like a big downer. It was like, all right, but the next week, then we'd get better and we'd come in and then we'd be like, oh man, you did so much better this time. That went so much better. And you're like, oh yes, praise the Lord, right? And so it just became this cycle of getting better and getting better and getting better and getting better. And you never get as good as you would like to, you know, eventually arrive to. And there's always this next level and next thing, but you're at least further down the path and you are not stuck doing the same things or dealing with the same issues that you were before. So I would encourage you to stick with us over the next few episodes because such a big change. And because I can honestly tell you, from somebody who used to hate evaluations to now where I am and who I am as a person, that evaluations has changed. My life has changed, our ministry. And it was so important and I cannot recommend it highly enough to you. I could try, but it just won't happen. So I'd encourage you this week to take a look at your services, take a look at whatever area of ministry that you're serving in and ask yourself, what did we do well? What could have gone maybe a little better? And what are we gonna do about it next week? And, you know, just figure out, are you, which ditch are you in? And you might be surprised that you don't know, or sometimes it's a little more obvious when you're in the ditch of discouragement than the ditch of pride. But I believe that the things we're going to share with you, are sharing with you, are going to help you get down the middle of the road, down to where it is that God has for you, and that you'll be blessed. And the people that are waiting on your gifts, your talents, are going to be blessed as well. When you arrive there, you'll be equipped, ready to minister to them. So until next time, have a fantastic week, and God bless.